Welcome to the AWS Industrial Insights Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Ladarzak.
And I'm your host, Doug.
With each episode, we bring you an inspiring leader with practical advice to help you solve your toughest business challenges. Because we believe that sometimes, all it takes is one big idea or one piece of wisdom to change your business forever. So thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's show. Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Scott, and today we are here to talk about a very cool topic, factory performance, overall equipment effectiveness, defining the undefined. I am here today with your co-host, Doug. Doug, say hi.
Hey, everybody. I'm really looking forward to understanding how we define the undefined today, and that's where our special guest today, Logan Cooper, Director of Manufacturing Quality from Belden, is going to kick in. And Logan, please introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, what you do, and kind of what your role is.
Sure. So my name is Logan Cooper. I'm a 14-year-long employee here at Belden. Current role, I'm the Director of Quality and Lean for our manufacturing facility in Richmond, Indiana, but have been in a number of different operations, supply chain-related roles over my 14-year career. And right now really focused on process automation, improving our flow of information, and overall digitization of our factory is kind of the key parts that I'm working on currently.
So are you more operations or more IT? Cause there's always that divide that happens within there as well. How would you define yourself?
Yeah, I would say 100% operations. So, very minimal IT experience. This digitization project we're going to talk about, obviously a huge learning curve on a lot of the IT side or even OT side of things. So definitely not an IT guy.
Well, don't think that's a bad thing. That's a good thing going forward from this standpoint. It's great to hear from the people whose hands are out there, walking the floor, understanding what's happening. Now that we know a little bit about you, how about a little bit about what Belden is? What is the background on Belden?
Sure. So yeah, I like to think Belden's a brand that a lot of people out there have probably never heard of, but almost everybody has either interacted with the products or seen content that has gone through Belden products, almost guaranteed. So we're a 120-year-old company, so been around a very long time. And most of our history, we've been a wire and cable manufacturing company, so producing world-class, cutting-edge wire and cable products. And in the last 20 years or so, through acquisition and R&D of new products, we've really gotten out of just wire and cable and have added products that help support industrial automation, smart buildings, cybersecurity. So a few different realms we've started getting products into. And now we're kind of on a new transition where we're taking all the products that we make best in class for these industrial applications and trying to provide solutions to our customers. So incorporating our factory automation products into a overall solution to solve a problem for our customers. And so it's a neat journey that we're starting down, and that's kind of the kickoff for this project that we'll talk about a little bit more.
So ultimately, you guys have been able to move away from a pure product for the consumer world and industrial world, looked internally, have made some acquisitions to expand your portfolio, and now we're even looking to make that portfolio stronger for the customer base that you guys work with.
Yeah, absolutely. And so products are still a core part of our business. So we still do sell, our best-in-class cable and industrial networking products on an individual basis. But we're getting more and more into the solution selling where we're selling products that fit together into a solution as opposed to just incremental products.
Very cool. And I think that's kind of we've seen that with a bunch of others, and I'm really looking forward to hearing a little bit more about this. But before we get into the product portfolio and kind of where you're moving towards, tell us about your day in and day out. What is your plant? What does it look like? What are the number of employees, your equipment, that type of stuff that's in there?
Sure. So, I mentioned it, we're a manufacturing plant here in Richmond, Indiana. And so this was actually the first location. Belden was founded in Chicago in 1902. And this was the first manufacturing location outside of Chicago as Belden expanded. And so we built this plant in 1927, 1928. So we're just shy of 100 years old in this facility. It's been added on to a number of times. It's currently about 750,000 square feet of manufacturing and office type space here on this site. Roughly 380 employees on the site. That fluctuates year to year, but currently about 380. Very heavy industrial manufacturing, so we're a lot of large industrial equipment where we're fabricating wire and cable from raw copper components coming in one end to very sophisticated products coming out the other end of the building. We have, you know, all kinds of equipment from stuff that's, you know, 50, 60 years old that's still pumping out wire and cable to some state-of-the-art, brand-new, highly connected and measured extrusion equipment. So we've got everything from one extreme to the other, which makes it for an interesting endeavor every day, trying to keep our older equipment running, trying to get the most out of our new equipment, and it makes for a fun environment for sure.
Yeah, I was hoping you weren't going to say you still had machinery from 1927, but maybe the 60s and 70s, right?
Yeah, yep, yep.
So it's an interesting blend of dip switches, some PLCs, different protocols, the typical real-world experience, right?
Exactly, yeah. And you know, we've, for the most part, been able to stick with Allen Bradley type control equipment. But what we're seeing, you know, more recently with a lot of our newer equipment and a lot of the supply chain disruption that's occurred, we've had to go with Siemens controls on a number of new pieces coming in. And so it's creating an environment where we're definitely not brand, you know, one branded. We're pretty diverse, and even within a given protocol, there's a lot of diversity on the age. And so, you know, it is a... Every piece of equipment has its own little novel pieces, and there's hundreds of pieces out there. So it is definitely a modgepodge of types of equipment, types of controls, and different vintages all across all of them.
Well, I'm sure that makes it interesting for you as you're trying to figure out what's going on throughout the day. So describe how you've done that. What is the problem that you first were looking to solve? I think it's partially what you just explained, but walk me through how you kind of came up with this.
Yeah. So our OEE, or equipment effectiveness, our performance efficiency, all, you know, it's something that has been very difficult for us to measure in a clean and accurate way, and definitely not in a real time way, given all the disparity we have. And so I would say, at the start of this project, we were a very disconnected, siloed type operation. We had some equipment that would give us automated data about performance, but it was definitely the minority of the equipment we have on the floor. Most of what we relied on was supervision, actively managing our employees and going out and checking performance on the machines, or referring to, we have handwritten hour-by-hour charts where the operators would record production and issues they were facing on a piece of paper that would live at the machine and be turned in at the end of a shift or end of a day for incorporation into our performance. And then we were very reliant on transactional data. So, you know, at the end of a day, we would record in our ERP system how much was produced, and then the next day be able to run some reports and kind of look at our efficiencies through that. But very past focused and definitely did not give us all the details we would need to truly understand our performance. And so I think that's the biggest issue we had, was how do we really understand how we're performing at a given time at any machine or in an area? And how does that compare to how we're trending on performance over a longer period of time as well? So we really did not have good detailed information, and we definitely didn't have any real-time information on those two fronts.
So in the past, you were able to get maybe shift information. What was the lag time between end of shift and when you could get a report that, here's the kicker word, that you could trust?
Yeah, I would say it would be, you know, at best 24 hours, but in many cases it could be 2 or 3 days before all transactions were processed through the system and actual data coming out the other side. So, even a lot of our transactional processes were recording of handwritten, you know, we'd create a handwritten tag for something and then that would be turned in and have to be then entered into our ERP by a third party or somebody else, not the operator himself. So there was delays in paperwork, delays in getting transactions, and then delays even in the reporting side of it, where it would be a once a day type a database that we'd be pulling from. So, at best 24 hours, but I would say in many cases it would be 48 or more before we'd get good information out the other side.
And I'm sure everybody has perfect handwriting to allow them to be able to be read by somebody else, right?
Yeah, that's one of the favorite things is we've kind of demonstrated this project, being able to show some actual examples of our handwritten hour by hour charts. And, you know, it's one thing to, you can't read all the handwriting, but then, interpreting what it is they're trying to say, there's just, it's very difficult to even look at this and see, are we winning or losing? It takes a lot of analysis or digestion to even look at the handwritten charts and see, this was a good day or this wasn't a good day. It was not evident just by looking at them. So
here you are, you're looking there going, guys, I can't keep driving the car in the rearview mirror, right? I mean, that's one example that you could put from this standpoint. What did you start to do? I mean, walk us through how you go from handwritten capabilities to, well, describe first where you're at now and how you kind of went through that journey.
Sure. So this is where the Belden solution selling kind of comes in. It's kind of a fun story that kicked off the project. So, here we are in one of our regular quarterly reviews where different people from Belden talk about what's going on in the company. And one of the members of our solution selling team, which is kind of this new division, comes on and is talking about all these great initiatives that we've got where we're going to be digitizing factories and, installing systems in our customers that are going to give them all this information. And as a management staff in this room, looking around, kind of thinking, hey, how do we tap into this resource? We've got all these expertise, that Belden is hiring for this solution selling. We've got cutting edge products that support this type of initiative. And here we are handwriting our performance on a piece of paper. That was kind of the kickoff moment where I reached out to that individual after the call and said, hey, how do we kick this off where we can, try our own solution selling internally and see if we can get some benefit at the factory? And that was the kickoff of the project.
So this was almost looking externally saying, man, we're selling these really cool things. Why can't we use it internally?
Exactly. Yep.
Or even let's eat our own dog food here, right? So
yeah, that's the not everyone loves the phrase, but we've used it a lot of times. Yeah, how do we eat our own dog food? I think
drink your own champagne.
Drink our own champagne. That's a better one.
For sure.
So here you are in a meeting. You're probably with a bunch of executives. You're an exec yourself, and now you've got a couple guys who are really good at selling. Hopefully, they're solution sellers and stuff from that standpoint. How did you define where you needed to go?
Yep. So this is where the fun started on kind of the discovery of it. So we looked at it. I mean, it was not only going to be a benefit where we could bring in the Belden solution experts that could come in and help us, but we also saw it as, hey, before we go aggressively and launch all this solution selling to our end users, let's let our solution selling team kind of have a dry run of treat us like a customer, come in here and walk us through your sales process and implement a solution. And so I would kind of treat it that way, where while we were on the same team and selling internally, we kind of let the solution selling folks come in and use their selling model and expertise and treat us like a customer. And so, it was very good. The very first step was to bring in the experts from that team from a network perspective and machine connection type experience, have them come in and actually do a Gemba walk where we walked through each machine that we were trying to connect and establish how do we make this connection. And so it was a very hands-on approach, looking at machine by machine, what is it going to take to, what kind of devices do we need to add to get this data from this machine into an OT network, and how do we build an OT network that can support all this data flow? And so we took the experts, used our own internal factory experts that knew the machines and where the data came from, and worked together to build this network and build the connections required to start pulling the data.
So here you are, you're standing in the middle of the factory, like you said, 750,000 square feet. You've probably got hundreds of different machinery out there. You've probably got 10, 20 different lines doing different products. Everybody's got the same problem. You're the factory manager. You can't do 15 machines at once. So how did you decide, where do I start? Or did you just go start there because we got to start somewhere?
No, that's a good question. Yeah. So we definitely took an approach where we wanted to do some sort of a trial run. We wanted a smaller scale part of the manufacturing plant where we could prove this concept before we went wide scale across the entire facility. And so, you know, we have one area of the plant where we consider it internally one of the more complex areas in terms of the types of equipment, the diversity of the equipment, the types of product we run. So we took the mentality that if we can make this solution work here in our most difficult and complex area, we should have no problem expanding this to the other areas of the facility. And so that was really the mentality. Is we took an area and one that's big enough that improvements here are going to have an impact on the facility. So not just picking one or two machines, but an entire production cell where we produce products from start to finish. And so this area also, with the complexity of the products, is also some of our highest margin products. And so we knew that efficiencies gained here, where it increases the amount of capacity we have to produce these products, is going to be, from a return on investment standpoint, a much more attractive gain as well, as we chose this area.
So now you're starting to go out there, you're changing machinery, you're probably changing processes as well. How did the workers react?
Yeah, so that, I mean, it's something we tried to consider from day one, is the impact to the workers. And so obviously, you know, trying to think before we did this, what we're trying to conceptualize some of the issues that we might have with some employees. And I think the biggest one that we face, we, with an old factory, we've obviously, we have a lot of senior employees here as well. So I think our average tenure of our hourly workforce is right around 18 years. And so we've got a number of people that are 50 plus years and a good smattering of newer employees as well. But we were concerned about this influx of technology and how's that going to impact some of our older workforce. And so I think, you know, we'll talk more about it maybe as in the design of the actual solution, but we really tried to incorporate how do we make this as easy as we can for the user of this system. And so we knew they were already used to handwriting these hour by hour charts. But as we designed the interface for the operators and the dashboards that they're going to interact with, we really tried to keep in mind, keep it as simple as you possibly can. So very minimal inputs required. So a lot of background lookup type information where they are only inputting, you know, one or two numbers that this is what I'm running. And when the machine goes down, an easy pop-up where they select a downtime reason type of level of information. So in terms of, you know, getting adoption from the employees, I think it was very, very good. We did not have any pushback as a result of it, just because we kept it so simple for them. And it eliminated handwritten information that they no longer have to provide. And so I think it was a win-win, making it easier for them, but also making the data more accessible for us. So I think it was very good from that standpoint.
That's interesting. I mean, I think Doug and I, when we talk to a lot of other customers, we hear kind of a fear from the workforce, right? Like, oh, you're going to start tracking. There's going to be some traceability now. You're watching us. But it sounds like you didn't have that problem. So that's a good thing.
I think we had a culture already where we measure a lot of things at the factory, and we have a pretty robust lean daily management process where we go to boards and we're talking about performance. And so the operators are pretty used to, with their handwritten hour by hour, supervisors coming and checking and seeing how they're performing. And so they were kind of used to a culture where they're being measured. And this was really just an extension of it. But yeah, I could see if we didn't have something already where they weren't as watched, it probably could have been a bigger issue.
I was going to say, maybe, I mean, in the way you position it, even making it easier for them, right? I mean, let's face it, you know, writing down notes and scribbling stuff down versus maybe a more automated data keeping or data tracking is always going to be more appealing. So that's great. I mean, it's a good thing the way you guys positioned it. So,
yeah, and I think it's more attractive. So while we were trying not to isolate our older workforce, I think it also was a lot more attractive for our newer employees to come in and interact with a tablet as opposed to a handwritten piece of paper. I think that's something they're used to in their daily lives. And so it was very easy and kind of secondhand for some of our newer associates to take on.
Very cool. So earlier we were talking about the proof of concept, you know, figuring out the right product, the right area to start within the factory. You always have to think about the ROI. So where did you come up with the ROI and how did you measure that to show success and probably sell it to finance because somebody has to pay for this?
Yeah, no, it's a very good question. And that is, yeah, the core, one of the core reasons or justification for the project is obviously an efficiency gain. So we had a hard time initially, so understanding where our jump off point was. We didn't have a good measurement for OEE prior to this project, so we were using a lot of that historical transactional data to back into an OEE number. And we estimated our jump-off point to be around 55%, which is not great. And I think, you know, given the environment we're in with a lot of different products, so it's a very high product mix, lots of changeover type environment that drove us to the 55%. So we estimated a jump-off point of 55%. And for the justification, we estimated a 5 percentage point improvement. So going from 55% to 60% OEE. And that improvement is roughly a $500,000 annual productivity improvement. And given the cost of the project, it's about a 1.2-year payback on that investment. So very good return, and I think it was a very conservative 5% OEE improvement. As we've gotten into this project, we're starting to see, you know, some of the results. And while there's a lot of fluctuation still day to day, you know, we're seeing in most cases about a 10% productivity improvement, or from 55 to 65, as opposed to the 5% that we budgeted for. So very good actual results, and a very easy one to sell to finance with the quick payback and good return on investment there.
Awesome. So if we look at this, of course, we're sitting here on an AWS podcast, right? What is our relevancy here? How did we help you through this journey?
Yeah, so I think this is part where Belden, you know, we offer parts of solutions with mostly the product base that we have, but we can't solve the entire solution. And so we're, you know, feeling out all of these strategic partners that we can bring and help us sell these type of solutions. And so AWS is a big part of where that journey goes. And I think for this initial part, AWS was there and helped our team kind of come up with the concept and work through some of this. But we see it more as what's the next step after this project. I think, you know, now that we have data flowing, we have an understanding of our performance data. We haven't really talked about it, but another part of this project is really our preventative maintenance or predictive maintenance data was another aspect of what we started collecting. And now that we have all this data, this is where we really see AWS coming in to help. How do we get this into the cloud, get it into these, you know, very sophisticated modeling software systems that can take our data and give us a lot more insight into, you know, what's actually happening, help us contextualize the information. So it's not just looking at real time how we're performing, but what are the trends in that performance? What are we seeing? What are the relevant variables that we should track along with this data to really understand and get some intelligence out of the system, as opposed to just looking and seeing how we're performing in a given time.
So how did you bring these to the users? So I'm a user sitting out there. Maybe I'm, the guy who used to write things down on paper. We talked a little bit about tablets, but you also said right there that, hey, we wanted to contextualize this data for the users. How did you deliver it to the users?
Yeah, so we use a software system called Ignition, was the software that we used as our dashboarding system. And so at each individual machine, there's a tablet that the operator interacts with. And the tablet has a real-time dashboard. It shows current status as well as the last 24 hours. So they can see how they're performing. They can see how the other associates that run the same piece of equipment for the last two shifts before them have performed. And that's really what they interact with. So it's going to show them the OEE score for the last 24 hours for their piece of equipment right there on the tablet that's mounted right by their machine controls. It's what they interact with. So they're inputting what order they're running, and the system is pulling the targeted rate that we're measuring it against. And like I said, when the machine goes down, they select why it's down. And so that's really their interaction, and all that's done in Ignition. And then we also have heads-up displays throughout the area that show summary level information of all the equipment that's in that area. And so it is, a very quick and easy heads-up. You can look and see information like how fast is a machine running versus the standard at real time. If a machine is down, how long has it been down? And a lot of color coding so we can see. If a machine has been down for more than 30 minutes, it turns red. And so it really alerts a supervisor that, hey, we maybe need to go look at something at these machines. And that's all done in Ignition. And then we've also got the ability to access that from any PC or cell phone. So we can see this information remotely. We can see this information in offices. So from a management or supervision standpoint, we can see it in a magnitude, at the machine, at a heads-up display, or in your office, you have access to all this information.
Very cool. So ultimately, you're unlocking these data sets that are on those machines, bring them to the cloud, then building the reports off of that. And that report is both for the users, management on site, but also global management. Correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, while we were the kind of trial kickoff, the success we've had in our project has already kicked off a copy and paste exercise of this exact solution into all of our Belden facilities. It's starting to build this, an infrastructure of data flow that will be have a lot more insights to actual performance data from one plant to another plant that we've never really been able to see before. So we'll have at the end of this project, when it's all said and done, the ability to cascade all of this performance information up to a CEO level where he could really understand performance trends across all of our manufacturing facilities and have it kind of in a common language that would actually make sense and know where the source of the data is because we're doing it the same way in every location.
So you've already started what I was going to ask next, which is your future plans. So you have this at one plant running pretty well. You've started to roll it out to the second. As you rolled it to the second, the third, the fifth, the 50th, whatever, what number you're from that standpoint, what's been the major issue that you've been having? Any?
No major issue. I mean, I think it's what has been, I think the best learning is we kind of get this opportunity to share our learnings with each new development. So, the best example that I can say, when we first launched ours, we used a 10-inch tablet mounted at the machines, and it worked okay in our testing and was fine. But once we got it out on the floor, realized that it's way too small, and the interaction with the operator interacting with this small 10-inch screen, sometimes it was difficult for them to select exactly what they needed to select. And so small learnings like that, where now we go to the next facility, they're using a much larger tablet, and in some cases, we're actually going to a 22-inch touch screen monitor as opposed to a tablet. And so I think each iteration that we get, we're learning a little bit more. We're also getting feedback. So as they're doing an implementation in a new facility, we kind of have a monthly meeting where we can review some of the learnings they're having and see if there's things that they're doing just differently enough that maybe, hey, we should incorporate that back into ours. And so some examples, you know, the dashboard layout or the information that they're putting on the dashboard for the operators is slightly different facility to facility. And so it seeing some of the creativity that the other sites are bringing into the thing and having an opportunity to kind of pick best practices. And then this Ignition software is so simple that, you know, we can very quickly take what some other plant is doing and roll it into our dashboard and kind of do these real-time modifications without, you know, weeks and weeks of delay on reprogramming things. It's a very easy easy system for us to use. So that's been a pretty exciting part of the project.
Yeah, I mean, I think where Doug is going is we see this a lot, right? When somebody scales, they do a POC, works great, but then when they go to scale, that's when they discover potential challenges. You mentioned one. I mean, I'm trying to think of like, it almost sounds like yours was such a varied line to begin with, right? That maybe you already had some of that kind of disparity going on. You know, somebody, for example, you go to another plant and they have some 20-year-old PLC-5 from Allen Bradley, right? That no one knows how to get data out of anymore. But it sounds like, you know, maybe because
I think the approach we took, I think the idea we created a very robust OT network. So in terms of the industrial Hirschmann switches and Belden cable, ProSoft devices in the equipment that do the conversion to get the data from the various PLCs, I think we created this template that is very robust and it works. And so while there's slight changes on, you know, which ProSoft device do I need for this specific application, a lot of that legwork and development was done because we had so many different examples in our proof of concept that we were able to cover a lot of those pieces. There probably are some very isolated cases where there's been equipment that, hey, we don't have a solution for this one that had to be developed. And I haven't been involved in all those conversations, so I can't say for sure. But I'm sure there's been some challenges. But I think the simplicity of the way we designed the network and the way that the systems talk, I think it made it very scalable and pretty easy to replicate site to site.
That's awesome to hear, because that is I think you guys did have some uniqueness with the amount of disparity, you know, from a 100-year-old facility down to, hey, let's make this thing to the 2020s, which is a big lift in some aspects from there. So I think that's awesome to hear. Logan, this has been great. In the last minute, what would you say to our listeners out there as a best practice, as a learning that you had from that standpoint?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've always felt like we were behind the times from a technology standpoint. It's just been a feeling, you know, I think a lot of it is just how fast consumer technology advances. We're used to, you know, you have your cell phone and you think of all the things that you can do from your cell phone, and you sit here in a factory and question, you know, why are we so far behind? And I think the biggest kind of a refreshing piece that I've kind of established, you know, been able to share this in a number of different public arenas and get a lot of feedback that there's a lot of people that are at the same situation that we are. So we're not, while there are a lot of industry leaders that are doing amazing things on factory automation and have cutting edge technology in their factories, a vast majority of the manufacturers out there are pretty early on in their digital journeys. And I think that was refreshing for us to kind of feel, hey, we're not starting way behind. We're actually, you know, where a lot of other people are in this journey. And so I think the key is it's time you got to start. I think everybody out there should be focused on some sort of digitization effort. And the thing is, you know, as a manufacturing team, we didn't have the expertise for us to just do this on our own. We did not have people with the IT knowledge and OT network knowledge, the knowledge of how to make all these connections to the equipment. And so we did have to bring in somebody external with that to help supplement. So we knew we needed to do it. We felt that this is the right way to go. But it did require some help externally. And I think that's the key is you got to have, you know, a good plan, bring people that know what they're doing, that can create something robust and that will work. But it's definitely something that is a requirement now, not just a nice to have. And I think people, more and more are starting down this journey, but you got to start somewhere.
Logan, again, thank you for the time today. It's been great to hear where Belden has been on that journey. As you said, starting from a facility that's over 100 years old, completely disparate information stores and capabilities, which is real-world evidence that there is success that can happen in here. Again, thank you for your time and insights, and looking forward to hearing from others as we start to move forward.
Yeah, thank you guys very much for the platform, and hope the story helps some others that are out there.